First Chronicles 29, this is a remarkable verse. Look at verse 29. You can never forget that. First Chronicles 29, verse 29. Now, the acts of David the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the history of Samuel the seer, and in the history of Nathan the prophet, and in the history of Gad the seer, with all his reign and his might, and the times that went over him, and over Israel, and over all the kingdoms of the countries. Isn't that a remarkable thing? The times that went over David, and it says his act, first and last. And you know about the books of Samuel. How many of you have ever read the book of Nathan the prophet, or Gad the prophet, Iddo the seer? You know nothing about that. But there's additional information in these books. But we do have Samuel, and we have Kings, and we have Chronicles. But notice, first and last, so here's a summary of it. We do not have everything about the life of David, but we have the first and the last, and we have the times that went over him. And I have to quote you this verse, unless you can quote it to me. Psalm 31:15. Any brother know that verse? My times are in thy hand. And it says, the times that went over David. And so the times that go over us, who is in control of those times? You say, my times are in thy hand. We heard this morning that we as sheep are in his hand. So God has everything under control. I will quote you this verse. In Psalm 37, it says, and David wrote this psalm, I have been young and now am old. So we have the life of David, young and old. And now turn to 1 Kings 15. 1 Kings 15. And look at verse 5. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. This is a marvelous verse for this reason. It says in John 17 concerning the apostles, they have kept thy word. Now think of the life of the apostles. Do you think of them as being described as having kept the word of the Lord? When one said, let me be on your right hand and one on the left, and Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven? And they're all going to forsake him and flee. Do you think of them as being those that kept his word? And yet, looking over the life of David, and I can tell you of many sins that he committed, even the sins that he himself confesses, God simply brings out one. It says he turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Now turn to 2 Samuel 7. Verse 8. Now therefore thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee. And I will make thee a great name like unto the name of the great ones that are in the earth. Now let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for every opportunity of opening thy word, and you yourself are the one who tells us about the ones who are of great importance. Some we would think little importance, and yet, Father, you will pick them up and tell us about their faith in the book of Hebrews, by faith. And you look down the history of your children and tell us of some. And our Father, in the instance of David, you have taken him and set him before us as the one that you have chosen. We thank you, our Father, for this month that lies before us in your will, and we desire to learn all about David. And so guide us by thy Spirit. Let us know the blessings that can be in store. We can be instructed, our Father. We can be warned. We can be strengthened. Our God, so many lessons. So help us by thy Spirit, we pray. We confess our sins, be faithfully just to forgive and cleanse as you promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. What is so difficult about trying to grasp the biography of the life of David is that you have the books of Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles. And if I ask you, and if it meant your life, in how many of these books do we have the biography of David? Where is the first mention of David historically in the Bible? How old is he when God tells us about him for the first time? Tell me who the sons of Zeruiah are, and tell us who Zeruiah is. Do you know? You say, I don't know any of these things. That is why this morning it says, I have the young, and now I'm old. And so this morning, at this service, we're going to consider the genealogy of David. And then, in the will of God, in the next service, we're going to consider David as a young man. I have been young. And so now, we're going to try to learn something about the genealogy of David. I want you to know about his father, his mother, his brothers, his sisters, his nephews. I want you to know about his in-laws, because if you do not know about them, you'll be reading in the Bible and you won't understand. It's just like this. I told you that concerning Joshua, the son of Nun, unless you knew who his grandfather was, you could never understand about Joshua. Now, of course, you remember who Joshua's grandfather was, don't you? I told you last year, Elishama was his grandfather. And once you find out who his grandfather was, then when you read about Joshua, when you read in the Pentateuch, you will have an understanding. You'll have a grasp concerning Joshua and his position that you could not have unless you knew who his grandfather was. And in like manner, unless I tell you about the genealogy of David, you will never appreciate him, and you will never understand about David and his brothers and sisters and his in-laws and all of these essentials you have to know about David, and you have to learn them from his genealogy. And so let me start. And first of all, it is with sadness, and also of the tribes of Israel, you would never think that one, the tribe of Judah, would be singled out as being the tribe from which the prince would be taken, would be the one that God set his eye upon. But it was for this reason. If you have ever checked up on your past genealogy, you look for people of importance, and then you come upon people of ill repute. But what happens concerning the genealogies in the Bible is that God always tells us the truth, and he will tell you those that are of importance in the genealogies of these saints in the Bible, and he will tell you also those that are inferior, lewd, debased, from which they come. And David comes from the family of Judah. He is of the tribe of Judah. And what is so disheartening is this, is that the one who founded the tribe of Judah founded his family by incest. The very first thing that you ever read about Judah and his bringing forth children into the world, you read that he had 5 sons, and the disappointing thing is this, that God destroyed 2 of his 5 sons, Ur and Onan, and then he had another son, and he was so afraid that God was going to destroy him that he would not give that son to his daughter-in-law, Tamar. And this is where all the trouble started. And telling you about Judah, and understand this, that the ones I tell you about, you have Judah, you have Perez, you have Hezron, you have Ram, all of these are the direct line of David, and they are his grandfathers. For instance, our Savior is called the Son of David, but he's not the Son of David. He is the grandson, the great, great, great. And so when I speak of his grandfathers, they are those in the direct line. And I will tell you something here that is of the keenest importance, and it's this, that not only David's grandfathers, and his grandfather was Judah, but also you go along and you find out that his uncle was Uncle Caleb. I tell you these things as we go along, and I will show you the importance of them later on. But starting out, this is what happened. Judah was one that was not a moral man. And what happened is that he promised that when his son grew up, he would give that son as a husband to his widowed daughter-in-law, Tamar, but he never gave that son to her. And she understood it. And so what she did was to disguise herself and go and sit by the road. And of all things, her father-in-law comes along, and he thinks that she is a prostitute. And he goes and he lays with this woman that he thinks is a prostitute. And then she is a cunning woman because she says, I have to have some security. I want your staff, and I also want that which you hang around your neck. And so she gets those. And so later on, it's found out that his daughter-in-law Tamar is with child. And Judah in indignation says, we'll burn her with fire. But she's ready for him. She says, I'm with child by the one who owns these possessions. And he looks at them and he says, they're mine. She's more righteous than I am. Now that's the start of the family of David, the tribe of Judah. The child that is born, they're twins, Perez and Zerah, and Perez is the one who has a son named Hezron, and then it goes on, Ram, and so forth. And this is the direct line. And so this one from whom David is descended, the one that he has to point back, first of all, he has to say, my grandfather was an incestuous sinner, and I am descended from that. Now, that would be bad enough. But then you will discover that not historically, but genealogically, in the book of Ruth, chapter 4, it mentions his descent, and we come to Solomon, and then we come to Boaz, we come to Obed, we come to Jesse, and then we come to David. And you find out that Solomon married Rahab the harlot. And so he is descended, and one of his grandmothers is a harlot. And then Boaz marries Ruth. And Ruth is a Moabitess, and she is under a curse. And perhaps sometime I will explain to you about this. God says, they are under a curse, and you are to have absolutely nothing to do with them. And so this is the beginning of the family of David. Could you think that any good thing could come out of such a family as that? The Bible is asked this, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No, not one. That's true. But then, when our Savior is asked by the disciples, when he's talking about salvation, who can be saved and who cannot be saved, the disciples look at him and say, well then, who can be saved? And the Savior says, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And so what God has done is to start with the worst possible beginning, and out of it comes one of the finest characters in the Old Testament. I suppose his only equal would be Joseph. He was superior in many ways, and yet not his equal. But there was more morality in Joseph than there was in David. And so think of this. This is his background. And so finally we come to Jesse, his father. I could turn you to these verses. Perhaps it's better to simply tell you about these verses. When you come to Jesse, when it speaks of the descent and the king, if it wants to speak of something insignificant and feeble, it will speak of Jesse. And it says this concerning Jesse, it tells us about him. It said that he was an old man, he was frail, why, he was about to die. And this is when David was born. I tell you about that, and then I tell you about the sons of Jesse, because Jesse had 8 sons. I can tell you who 7 of them are, but I can't tell you who the 8th one is. But it says that when he was reviewing his sons, when Samuel was looking over those sons, 8 sons were brought into his presence. But then it never mentions but 7. We assume that one of those sons of Jesse died, and therefore we only know of 7 of those sons of Jesse. So Jesse lived long enough to have 8 sons, and so then it says that in the time of David, he was an old, frail, feeble man. This was his condition. Boaz was a man that had possessions, but then from the time of Boaz to Obed to Jesse, they were in reduced circumstances, just as I could tell you in my genealogy how I could point to 2 generations back and they were wealthy. And then we came to 2 generations down and we did not know where the next meal was coming from in 2 generations. But he was well off. He was comfortable. He had some possessions. But this was Jesse. Now, here is something that is remarkable. And you know the mothers of some, it tells you the fathers, and it tells you the mothers, but who can tell me the name of David's mother? Well, if you can, I'll give you a great reward. I've never been able to find it in the Bible. But I can tell you some things about her that few people have ever told me about, anyone has ever told me about, and I can tell you this. I can tell you that his mother was either divorced or a widow, and I can tell you who his mother's first husband was. Did you know that she had a husband before she married Jesse? His name was Nahash. And what happens, and this is when you give me an assignment. I said, well, the life of David, that will be easy. Until you start reading it and you understand how difficult it is. But all of these things I discovered as I was going along. And you think, well, I will turn to the genealogical section and find out all about the genealogy of David. But you do not find it succinctly put together completely. You'll be reading a book just as I read to you in 1 Kings 15. Who would ever think in a book that doesn't even mention David historically that it sums up the life of David in 1 Kings 15, and you would never realize such a thing, but it's found there. And of all things, concerning the mother of David, you find out, and I'm not going to give away everything now because I have another question for you. You'll find out that David's mother's first husband was Nahash, and then she was either divorced or widowed, and she came and she married Jesse, and she eventually became the mother of David. Now, let me ask you this. How many sisters did David have? Well, let me ask you this. You read about all the sons that David had. How many daughters did David have? Tell me one. It only mentions one. Tamar. Isn't that remarkable? That Tamar was the one involved with Judah, and Tamar, the only daughter by name of David, is also mentioned in an incestuous affair. How remarkable. But you'll find, but let me ask you this. How many of you have ever heard of Zeruiah? Have you ever heard of that name? If I ask you then, if you've never heard of it, you wouldn't know who Zeruiah was. Well, who were the sons of Zeruiah? Well, suppose I mention Abishai, Joab, and Asahel. You've heard of Joab before, haven't you? All right. These are the sons of Zeruiah. Now, who was Zeruiah with that hint? I've given you the three sons of Zeruiah. Zeruiah was not a man, but a woman. She was the half-sister of David. Isn't that remarkable? Now, for the first time, you discover this, that when you read about Abishai and Joab and Asahel, you're reading about the nephews of David. And when you read about Zeruiah and Abigail or Abigail, you're reading about the half-sisters of David. The sisters that were born of Nahash. And then these sisters who were born, this mother marries Jesse, and then she brings forth eight sons, but no more daughters. Now, that is what is remarkable. Now you're beginning to understand. You've read these names before. You've read the life of David, but you haven't known. Why? Because I wouldn't know. No one would know unless you understood about the genealogy. Let me ask you this. Have you ever heard of Talmai before? Have you ever heard of Eliam before? You can't know about David unless you know all these names. And if you know the name, you still wouldn't know anything. Well, if I mention the sons of David, how many sons of David are mentioned? You'll find 19, 20. I can show you the 20th. But of all those sons, there are just a few that are brought into prominence. And among them, you have Adonijah, and you have Amnon, and you have Solomon. And these sons are of importance, just like Absalom. They are of importance because of what transpires in their lives. Some of them, you read that they're David's sons and that's the end of it. But these sons are all important because Amnon was the firstborn son of David. Now, when I mention Absalom, unless you know the significance of Talmai, nothing will ever dawn upon you when it says that Absalom fled and went and stayed with Talmai the king. Do you know why he went and stayed with Talmai the king? Why? Because he was his grandfather. Isn't that remarkable? You say, of course he went and stayed with him, because it was his grandfather. And when you read why the grandfather would harbor a murderer, it will be because he was the grandfather of Tamar, whom Amnon defiled and committed incest with. And so Absalom hated his half-brother Amnon, and his grandfather hated Amnon as well. And so all of these things are opening up. Let me ask you this. Have you ever heard of Jonadab before? He was a nephew of David. You have to know about Jonadab. Who is the one that gave Amnon the plan to seduce his sister Tamar? It was Jonadab, the nephew of David. You see? All of these things you have to know, or else you can't understand. Now, I think I will simply tell you that you have two sisters, the half-sisters, that were begotten by Nahash, and it's just in passing. It mentions about Nahash's daughter, Abigail, and it says that a man went in unto her. It never says that they were married, but evidently she was forcibly gone in and seduced. And it says, out of that birth came forth Amasa, her son. You say, Amasa? Yes. And for that reason, you have two sisters. You have Zeruiah, the half-sister of David, and you have Abigail, the half-sister of David. Those two are full-blooded sisters. And Abigail has Amasa, and Zeruiah has three sons that are prominent in the army of David. Now, what it means is this, that Amasa later on is going to be made commander-in-chief of the army, but Joab, his first cousin, says, this will never happen. And so he puts him to death. But you must understand that Amasa is the illegitimate son of David's half-sister, Abigail. And so do you see all of these things that are opening up now? And if you can possibly remember them, or at least say, I know something about the genealogy of David, at least I know to look here, then you will be thrilled and you will have an understanding, and the Bible will be understandable and acceptable in a way that it's never been before. Now, what you find is this, that David's whole family. I told you about his grandfather, Judah, and now I've told you about his sons, Amnon, and I'm telling you about David himself, who sinfully went and took Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, and it says that Bathsheba was the daughter of Eliam. Does that mean anything to you? Well, what if I went one step further and told you who Eliam's father was? It says Eliam was the son of Ahithophel the Gileonite. Now, you have Ahithophel, you have his son Eliam, and you have Eliam's daughter Bathsheba. Now do you understand? The reason that Ahithophel, who was the most brilliant man and advisor of David, when Absalom decided to steal his father's throne, you'll find that Ahithophel went and took the side of Absalom and was trying to take away the kingdom from David for the simple reason that David had taken his granddaughter Bathsheba and had murdered the son, Uriah the Hittite, And now you say all of these things are opening up. I see all that is involved. Why, of course you do. And if you will piece it together, whenever it mentions the sons of Zeruiah, you'll understand why David is always saying, oh, you sons of Zeruiah. They are his nephews that are always causing him trouble. At times it's Joab, and at times it's Abishai, at times it's Asahel, but when one of them wants to do something, when one of them has a plan that is going to be destructive to David, he says, oh, you sons of Zeruiah. He's talking about his sister, Zeruiah, and he's talking about his nephews. One other thing that's most important, it's this. There wasn't much age difference between David's nephews, Amasa, Joab, Abishai, Asahel. All of those were about the same age as David. And that is why his nephews had such a bold part to take in the life of David. Now, I want to tell you a little bit, because there is so much to tell you, I cannot tell you about it. And so I have to tell you as I go along, and then things will piece together. I want to tell you a little bit about some events in the life of David. And all three of David's nephews are in David's army. And they are among the great ones in David's army. And they were not placed there because of nepotism, just because they were kin to David. But David said, the man that takes this city, he shall be chief. And Joab went and successfully took this city that was a challenge to him. And David said, you are commander in chief. And then Abishai and Asahel, Joab's brothers, they went and did valiant deeds. And so David said, then you shall have this position, and you shall have this position. And these two were two of the three great men. They weren't the greatest, but they were three of the great men. Now, this is what is so moving. On one occasion, David said, oh, that I had water from the well of Bethlehem. And it says that three men broke through, risked their lives, brought water to David and said to him, did you say that you wanted some water from the well of Bethlehem? And if you read and compare all that is written, you'll find that two of the three were his nephews, Abishai and Asahel. Now that's a lovely thing, that his nephews were prepared to risk their lives to get a drink of water for their uncle David. Now I want to tell you one other thing about his nephew Joab, because he was the one that held the kingdom together when it would have fallen to pieces, and he was the one that would go and gain victories, but he understood nature. And when he went and was about to conquer the city, he sent a message to David and said, now you come out with some of your soldiers and you do the winding up and you take the city and the glory will all be yours. Isn't that a remarkable thing? That the king is to get all the glory, because there was a time when David as a young man knew another king who did not get all the glory and it endangered his life. And this is something that is of the greatest importance, that Joab was the one who saved David's kingdom from being completely lost. Joab was the one who murdered, in time of war, David's favorite son, Absalom. Do you remember that Absalom, when he rebelled against his father, was caught, his head was caught in the oak limbs, and he was dangling there alive. And someone came and said, Absalom is hanging from his head in the oak trees. And Joab said, why didn't you kill him? He said, I heard what David said. I wouldn't kill him no matter what you gave me. And so Joab went and took three spears and stuck them through the heart of Absalom, his first cousin. And then he went, and it was told David that Joab had killed his son Absalom. And his instructions were these. Now, take it gently on my son Absalom. Don't do anything harmful to him. You be careful. And Joab said, what I'm going to do is to kill him. Because if he's left alive, the kingdom will never be secure. Well, what happened was this. That when Absalom was killed, David mourned and he said, my son Absalom, oh my son Absalom, would God I died in thy stead. And everybody looked and said, I look at David. And they were ready to leave him because they were so ashamed. And Joab went to him and said, what kind of behavior is this? Why, if Absalom had lived and all of your soldiers had been killed, you would have rejoiced. But now, I've won the battle for you. And he's dead, and this is the way you're acting. He said, you go out and sit in the gate of the city and speak comfortable words to Israel, or there'll be no kingdom for you. And so David girded himself up like a man and went out and spoke those words. And if it weren't for his nephew Joab that gave him that advice and demanded that he do that, then the kingdom would have been lost to David. Now, this is a little bit about the genealogy and the relatives of David. And if you've done any thinking, and if you read from now on, if you bring these thoughts to mind, you'll greatly understand the times that went over David. Now, the time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for all the things that we understand about men. Lord, let us know that some of us, when people are boasting about those from whom they descend, let us know, our Father, at times we look upon those from whom we came and we find nothing of importance. But now we take courage because even David could look back and with shame consider some of the behavior of his ancestors. So help us to understand about this, our God, that with God all things are possible. And as we continue to study in this next hour, bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.